Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now the second installment of our November weekly series on trending topics in psychotherapy. Last week, we talked about how finances, career, and money are factoring into therapy sessions in general these days in this economy. Today, we'll get more specific in the same direction: money, politics, and couples. So call us up and tell us of something about the current economic picture, the current political turmoil, or anything else in the news is straining your relationship with your significant other right now. Like, are you staying together because you're more worried than usual about money? Are you feeling the strain on your relationship because you have different views of Occupy Wall Street or different views of who to be mad at in Washington? Call and tell us what you've been talking to your therapist about when it comes to your partner. Or even if you don't see a therapist, call us up and tell us if you think your relationship challenges reflect a current trend, particularly in money or politics. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And joining me again, as he will each week this month, is Dr. Nando Pelosi, licensed clinical psychologist with a private practice here in New York City. He's also on the board of advisors of the National Association of Cognitive Behavioral Therapists and is a contributing editor to Psychology Today. Welcome back. Thanks again for doing this with us. Last week was great.
My pleasure, Brian. Thanks.
It's not news that couples fight about money, but in tough economic times, it can't possibly help a relationship, right?
Well, so much of our energies goes to maintaining the house and keeping up with payments, buying the latest gadgets. So energies get deflected.
You do couples counseling.
Yes.
Is the economy making money issues even worse? Or more specifically, how are money issues manifesting these days from patients in your practice?
Well, I think it's exposing among couples some implicit assumptions that they have that differ. You know, the guy might want to hold on to his vinyl records, or the other person wants to go minimal. You know, and so
this is that old Country Joe and the Fish album is worth $75 on eBay. Sell it.
No scratches on it, right? That's right. So that's one thing. And then there's we understand betrayal. You know, if it's sexual betrayal. But if it's fiscal betrayal, you know, born of these assumptions that differ, then we start feeling hurt and then resentful, and that really tears a relationship down.
By the way, I have no idea what the real market for Country Joe albums is, but in the years since the financial crisis began, there have been plenty of anecdotes about how the bad economy has led more couples to stay together who would otherwise break up. The thought is obvious, it's too expensive to break up, especially to go through a formal divorce, and then have to support two households when there used to be one. Do you see evidence of that?
Yes, I can think of a couple of people who sort of are together somewhat resentfully. So I don't know that that's necessarily good if they're coerced into being together.
What do you do as a couples counselor then? I think the easy stereotype is that your job is to help couples work things out and stay together, period. Does there come a time where you say, you guys should just split up?
Oh, well, obviously, you know, if they're really unhappy, we want to look at some fundamental differences and compatibilities. The main thing I look at, though, is to get rid of hurt and resentment. Those two seem to crop up most often in a clinical setting. People get hurt about how dare you do X, and then resentment kind of tears down the fabric of the intimacy.
Or if the bad economy has led couples to your office to try to work it out rather than break up, and then they're able to work out some things, maybe even some deeper things in the relationship, is it a stretch to say that the financial crisis is actually bringing some married couples closer together?
Yes. You know, when people start separating their self-worth from the amount of money they make, that could be a positive thing. If what brought you together was that your partner is in the 1%, say, and then now they're no longer in the 1%, then you have to look at other things that keep you together. And so new things emerge.
Let's take a phone call, 212-433-WNYC, Relationships, Money, and Politics, for therapist Nando Pelosi, 212-433-9692. And Tony in Hillsboro, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tony.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. What's your story?
Kind of a story that's shared by probably many, but I guess we were both part of the 1%, tell you the truth. And now I'm part of the 99%, and she's part of the 1%. And it kind of has resulted in different depictions of how we look at what our traditional roles, you know, used to be, and you know, what we're expected to do now, considering you know, I was a former banker. I worked for Merrill Lynch, and you know, I lost my job, and unfortunately, you know, it has put a big strain on things that I typically would do without having to, you know, discuss too much. But now, of course, it's since I'm not the primary earner, it changed things how we discuss the simplest of subjects. You know, so
Dr. Pelosi, I'm guessing Tony is not the only one in this position.
That's right. And you notice that he might start to feel sort of desperate or needy, and then she might start to feel resentful about getting betrayed somehow, and those kinds of ideas seep in. So that dynamic is sort of unstable. So I try to make all those things pretty explicit.
Do you want to give Tony some advice? He's still on the line.
Well, I'd say, how do you feel? I'd start with that.
Well, it's a struggle because, you know, we're from a traditional kind of, I guess, relationship marriage. And I think the main thing is getting her to understand that I'm not, you know, in this position because I want to be.
Right.
But I still want to have the same kind of influence in a relationship that I did before I got laid off.
Right. So it sounds like maybe you have some anxiety. You know, I would work through that and then refocus on what else you bring to the relationship. Maybe it's not just money. You can bring creativity, surprises.
Emotional support.
Humor and emotional support. Well, that's my job.
No. Spouse's job, too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Tony,
I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Good luck. Rachel in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. I have kind of a happy story. My partner and I have been together about 6 years, and I started really freaking out about needing more space and needing to just get away. I broke up with her, but neither of us could afford to break our lease because both of us are cobbling together really low-paying jobs. So I went off and did my own psychotherapy, joined the 12-step program that I needed to do, and, like, really started working on myself. But at the same time, every night we were still faced with seeing each other. So that eventually led to us talking a little bit more, and eventually we realized that we did actually want to be together, and I had done a lot of my work, and she had done a lot of her work. But I don't think that if we had had that lease, we would have made it through that. And now we're pretty happy, and both of us are, you know, much more strong in our own selves.
What a great story. Dr. Pelosi?
Yeah, that's sort of consciously getting off of that fiscal treadmill and looking at each other without the those markers of success that are external.
And so is there something about Rachel's story that you can use to advise others? Is it just that? Is it get off those external markers?
Well, it's work you do on yourself that, you know, some people assume that if I make X amount of dollars, then I'm more inherently valuable. So when you start with that premise, you not only apply that to yourself, you apply it to others, including your spouse. So when you get off of that and you say, well, look, we have different things to offer each other, you look at each other really with an openness and new dimensions.
Do you see a lot of formerly involved cohabitors these days, you know, the situation that Rachel described originally where they're not really involved with each other anymore, but they're living under the same roof because they can't afford to split up the household?
There are different pressures. Some pressures are about having children, about getting settled, really, starting a family. And among them are these financial considerations.
Linda on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Well, our situation is my husband is rather new to being interested in politics. He's been following closely politics since Bush Jr.,
mm-hmm.
That election, and it has become steadily a point of contention in our home. Each election, each new thing that comes on the news, that he brings it home in the house as though I am ignorant of the enormity of the Obama agenda, politics, and I actually loved debating politics. It goes back to me and my dad when I was like 8-10 years old. Mm. I wanted to report on Vietnam, but it wasn't in the encyclopedia even.
Huh.
And so as a
so
veteran,
here we go. So here we go. Is it that he's being preachy, or that he's just got an addiction to the news and he can't get on with his personal life?
He takes what he hears on the news that he listens to as absolute fact and unbiased, and that the
fair and balanced, is it that station?
Well, that's a favorite, and sometimes I say, you know what I heard on NPR today, and I'll tell him what I heard of that sounded pretty balanced to me, but I keep telling him, please go to the source. All you have to do is Google it. You know, I want him to expand how he comes to discern what's true, what's possible, what's planted.
All right, Dr. Pelosi, how do you step in?
She's demonstrating sort of an acceptance of him, even if she disagrees with his positions. That's a wonderful thing because it invites him to open up and for her to open up, and they don't blame each other even though they might disagree.
Well, is there something more that she could?
It makes like a kind of toxic environment at home because he comes home enraged with what he's heard.
Only if you let it become toxic, though. He might spew things you disagree with, but you don't have to let it become toxic. Toxic really means hurt and resentment.
So are you telling her to change her reaction to it rather than try to change him?
Well, what she tells herself first, and then she can try her best to disabuse him of his ideas.
Linda, good luck with that.
We've actually said we have to call a truce, and I want to encourage my daughter to be interested, but she gets she's like overwhelmed with it.
With all the politics black in the house. Linda, thank you. Justine in Cambridge, you're on WNYC. Hi, Justine.
Hi, thank you. I just kind of wanted to call in with a bit of a single perspective, actually, because having grown up in a enormously Republican household with a wonderful father example, and he provided for the family and was very successful, and I had a mom who was a mom very much appreciated her for that, and now have a brother that does provide for his family as well. Sort of seeing the dynamic nature of our economy and things changing so quickly, when I look for a partner as a young professional woman, I am more apt to, look at someone and make sure that they're happy with what they're doing rather than making money and being able to provide. I want to be with someone who actually enjoys what
they're
doing.
So you don't mind. You think you would be okay if you were in the role of primary provider financially?
Absolutely. And I'm certainly someone who's, interested in sharing the responsibility and someone who's comfortable with the mm-hmm. pendulum swinging in either direction depending on, you know, the economy we find ourselves in 15
yes.
years.
And Justine, thank you. We're just about out of time. Dr. Pelosi, a 10-second response to Justine's obvious mental health.
Well, she's doing very well because she knows her expectations. The only problem is sometimes expectations become demands, and that's when we run into trouble.
Well, we're going to have to end the session here because we're out of time. So I'll see you next week. Ha, ha, ha. But we will see you next week as we continue this November series with Dr. Nando Pelosi. Thank you so much.